It's a joy and honor to be with you to preach God's word this morning. I'm thankful for the opportunity to exchange pulpits with Reverend Spanger. Thank you for sharing him with God's people at Hudson Valley URC. And I extend to you greetings, warm greetings in the name of Christ from your brothers and sisters at Hudson Valley. We're thankful for you and the kindred spirit we share together in Christ and confessing him as that name above all names. And we wish you the Lord's blessings, that you'll continue to be a bright lampstand for Christ here and beyond. We would like to, we've been going through verse by verse through 1 Peter chapter, the chapters of 1 Peter. We've been at 1 Peter 5 recently, and we'd like to focus our attention there on 1 Peter chapter 5. Specifically, verses 5 through 11 for this morning. And thank the brother for reading that scripture, and we'll begin them at meditating for a few moments together in 1 Peter chapter 5. There was an article in the Times Herald Record, a local paper by us, talking about who you are to watch in 2016. Who are you going to watch in 2016? And they talked about, well, you got to be watching the politicians right up in Albany. They're the game changers, right? Keep an eye on them. Or you have to be watching what they referred to as an immigrant advocate, an immigrant advocate in Middletown, New York here, as well as, you know, the movie stars, celebrities, of course, and the sports stars, basketball players playing out in Madison Square Garden. Brothers and sisters, Peter tells us who we are to be watching in 2016. Two lions, really. Two lions. Keeping an eye out, watching for. That's the word there in verse 8. Be watchful of the lion of that savage nation, Satan himself. But also be on the lookout for the lion of the tribe of Judah, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So how do we do that? Peter tells us who to watch, who to keep an eye out for. We do that in three ways, really. Clothe yourself. That's how. Clothe yourself. That's the first faith lesson he tells us. Clothe yourself in humility so that you're able to confront that lion of a savage nation, Satan himself, all in light of the fact that we're called. We've been called to eternal glory by the God of all grace, the God of all grace. Peter tells us who to watch. Who are we to watch? Our Lord Jesus Christ by humbling ourselves. Clothe yourselves, and all of you, not just young men now, Peter says, but all of you, with humility toward one another. Humility. What does it mean to be humble? In the words of one commentary, well, it means not that you think less of yourself, but think of yourself less. We think of ourselves less, just like our Lord Jesus Christ, John chapter 13. Peter got the message, didn't he? Peter got it by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's saying, look, take that towel Jesus took, wrap yourself with other-mindedness, the mind of Christ, Philippians chapter 2. Wrap yourself in that selfless service. 2016, this is on the bucket list. It's really on nobody else's bucket list, is it? Humility. Less selfie, a lot more selflessness. Why isn't there any humility? At least it's hard to pick up on and spot it today, right? Especially in politics, with the politicians running for the office of President of the United States. You want to know why? Because God is gone. By and large, whenever God goes, humility will be gone. Humility will be gone. Wherever God gets credit, then there will be humility. Clothe yourself, like every part of yourself, Peter says, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. What is pride? Pride is certainly that self-centeredness, right? I live on planet me. everything should revolve and rotate around me, everyone around me, really my own personal fan club that's supposed to bow down and service me and serve me, right? And Peter flips that. God opposes the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. Grace to the humble. Peter knew the overpowering power of pride. He said to Jesus, if everyone, all of your other disciples, leave you, right, split, let you down, betray you, I will stand firm. I will never, ever leave you. I'll never deny you. And pride went before the fall for Peter. The grace came after the fall. God's amazing grace, this God of all grace, right? Peter's witnessing to and testifying about in this letter, the God of all grace, Jesus Christ, after he rose from the dead, he went to Peter and he restored him by asking him, humbling him really, right? Peter, do you love me? You know that I love you, Lord. Therefore, tend my sheep. And that's exactly what Peter is doing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as he tells us God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So, humble yourselves, verse 6 of the text, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Humble yourself. That's exactly what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did. He came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for our sins. He humbled himself under the mighty hand of his Father in heaven and said, not my will. Humbling himself all the way to the point of the death of the cross. And God exalted him. After Jesus Christ paid the penalty for what? Your pride and my pride. God exalted him. The tomb is empty now. Through the humble, dying love of Jesus Christ, God exalted him. By that very hand of God, the God of the mighty right hand, the God who, by that hand of a powerful grace, split the Red Sea in two. And it was that very same hand of God, the Father Almighty, that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand. So humble yourself under that mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. What does it mean for us to humble ourselves? I think it means at least this, certainly more. It means, Lord, I am a mess. I'm a mess. I can't fix myself. Never have been able to do that. I never can do it. I cannot fix myself. I am a mess. You're the only one who can redeem my life. Pay the penalty for my sins. Set me free from the power of the besetting sins I struggle with every single day. It's called prayer. Do you pray? Do you? Pray, crying out, help me. I can't. I can't. Talked to someone here just before the service about humility. Humility. Now, necessary humility is to fight against sin. To fight against, keep your eyes on the line of the tribe of Judah, right? Humbling yourself underneath his mighty hand so that I'm listening to him and his word. And that opens me up to actually listen to other people that God wants to use in my life and yours to speak wisdom and truth and gospel grace into our lives. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. He will exalt you in proper time. Not chronos time, but kairos time is the Greek word there. And kairos means the turning point moments. And I believe Peter has in mind here that last event on God's redemptive calendar, right? Jesus at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, reigning and ruling is next. Next agenda item on his redemptive calendar is to return. Ultimately, at that time, that turning point in history, the Lord will lift you up and glorify you. So how do you humble yourself? Notice there's a participle there. Yeah, we're getting English grammar. I was never really good at grammar, and then I figured out you got to know some grammar to understand the Bible. Finally had to pick it up in almost when it was too late, like college days and seminary. Casting. That's how you humble yourself. That's how I humble myself. You cast your cares on the Lord because he cares for you. He cares for you, your anxieties. One commentator points this out. I thought it was just a brilliant move, how pride and anxiety work together. I want you to think about that. Chew on that with me, and that's homework for this week. Whenever I am anxious, it's because I'm proud, more than likely. New church, right? And new people to meet. How's it going to go off here this morning? People going to really hear the word of the Lord? You know, what are they going to think of me? I can get anxious. But as I look at that, trace it down, pride is lurking in the background. Humble yourself, casting all your cares. It's singular there, and actually in the scriptures, it's singular. Peter is thinking of this big anxiety. What is it for you this morning? What is it for me, that big anxiety, those anxieties and those worries that upset us, that keep us up at night, and that kind of just cluster together so we feel totally immobilized, paralyzed, right, to live the Christian life? Cast those cares. They're not meant to carry. They're meant to cast on the Lord because he cares for you. What is it? Are you anxious about who's going to be president at the end of the year? Donald Trump? Maybe you get anxious about him, or Hillary Clinton. Maybe it's a son or daughter, or a grandson or granddaughter who seems to be allergic to the gospel of God's grace. Our jobs, our families, our marriages, conflicts in our relationships, they tie our stomachs right in knots. God says, throw it, chuck it to me, I'll catch it, I'll carry it for you. Cast those, that's how we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Cast your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. God has his eye on you, dear saint of the Lord. But you know, someone else has an eye on you here too. Satan does. So keep your eye on the line of the tribe of Judah, our Lord Jesus Christ, and his humiliation and exaltation. So you're able to stand and confront, right? The lion of the savage nation. Be sober-minded. Peter says, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Resist him. The devil, it really is, and our brother alluded to that in the congregational prayer. It's the devil hiding behind all of the opposition of this antichrist culture in which we're living. And he is antichrist, against Christ, or the other Christ that wants to be worshipped, as it were. And he's behind the opposition, those who oppress Christ and his kingdom. Brothers and sisters, Peter says, resist him. He's like that lion. He's hiding in the tall grass, right? Stalking, waiting, watching, just when it's the right time to pounce on his prey. I want to tie that in with When is just the right time for Satan to pounce on you? It's when you're anxious. It's when I'm proud. Because, you know, all of a sudden, I'm looking at myself, right? I'm caring about myself and how I'm coming across and how am I going to get, you know, if nobody cares for me, I got to get this done on my own. Satan, the demonic hosts, are going to start tempting, enticing, seducing us exactly in those points in our lives when we are proud and when we're anxious. We don't have an eye on him anymore, do we? Nor do we really have our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's sober-minded, watchful. He's seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Suffering really is, not only for us, but our brothers and sisters throughout this country and across the world. Suffering is that prime time when Satan seeks to devour and to dominate. To discredit the promises of God in Jesus Christ to us and for us. And Satan loves to tempt us. You're the only one who suffers these sufferings. You're the only one going through this. No, Peter says, here's a reality check. There's really nothing new under the sun, so to speak. Your brothers and sisters in the Middle East are suffering. More acutely, really, more profoundly, right, than we are here in the United States. But it's all in the family, isn't it? It's all in the family. So resist him. Firm in your faith. Firm in the faith that is in that humbled yet now exalted Savior who pardons and preserves his flock. Resist him. Brothers and sisters, the only time when you are unsafe and the only time when I'm going to be unsafe when it comes to the devil is when we are not humbling ourselves, when we are not casting all our cares upon the Lord, knowing that he cares for us, when we refuse to pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and put on the full armor of God, then no position to resist, and so we should be scared of Satan. But on that sacred ground of Calvary's Hill, the Lion of the tribe of Judah triumphed, and there is where we meet the devil. What does it say about our God? What does it say about the God of all grace who has all dominion? Just in a second, we're getting there. But what does it say about that God of all grace when Satan comes to devour and we turn tail and we run away? What does that say about our God? God of the resurrection, the living God. Oh, on that sacred ground, we can say to Satan, right? As he accuses, he's a liar, right? He's a deceiver. And say, we can say to him, Jesus is my Savior, and he has paid for my sins. That's how we resist him. Confront Satan as you clothe yourself in the humility of Christ because you've been called. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace who has called you. And that goes back to 1 Peter 2, doesn't it? I believe it was another allusion in the congregational prayer, so beautiful, but in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10, we read together. Peter says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Jesus Christ has called you. You have a caller. You are the called. And here's where we're going. It's not up and around suffering. It's not over suffering. It's not under suffering. It's through it. after, not if, but after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace is calling you to eternal glory, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Watch him, watch this, God of all grace, as you suffer through anxieties, right? As you struggle, that's grace. Grace. Marvelous grace. Saving grace, to be sure, but living grace to tackle those temptations, to handle those tests. God is going to show up at every turn, every moment in 2016 to do what? To stabilize you and me when we feel very, very unstable, overwhelmed by anxiety, when we feel like we're floating, right? And both feet firmly planted in midair. God of all grace showing up to reinforce that firm foundation underneath us. And all the sadness and madness of this world, God hands us grace. So the outcome of our lives, the outcome of this year, any year, are in the hands of him who has all dominion and will never, ever let the devil have dominion over you. You are the dominion of the God of all grace. Amen. It's 100% guarantee here. What a joy to belong to Christ, our living Lord and our eternal King. Humble yourself underneath him. Cast your cares on him this year and always. And the God of the mighty hand will lift you up. Amen. Let's, should we just pray together? Let's pray. Your Father in heaven, we do cast our cares on you. So thankful that in Christ you care for us. Clothe us with the humility of our Savior. For you oppose the proud, but give grace to the humble. Lord, we're a mess. We are sinners. Oh, how we need you. We can't fix ourselves. When we try, we make more of a mess. Please, Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. Redeem us. Fill us full with the Holy Spirit, the confidence that you will lift us up because you humbled yourself to the point of death, even the death of the cross, and have been lifted up, raised for our justification, risen with healing grace in your wings. Please protect us from the power of the evil one. Help us to be watchful. Please protect us from becoming intoxicated with our anxieties and drunk on our own pride. Even as we suffer, O God of all grace, please provide us with the living grace we need to overcome, knowing that we are more than conquerors through him to whom belongs all dominion, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive our sins, and Lord, open doors of opportunity for us to share this good news of great joy with those without God and without hope in this world. In the name above all names, even the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.